And we'll start by asking you about that strange story, really, the accident by which you met Adolf Hitler. How did it happen?
Well, it was really an accident. It wasn't planned at all. On the particular day when Hitler came to Königsberg, I had a piano lesson, and my mother didn't want to stop it, so I had to go. But it was in the centre of the town. There were plenty of people there, and the Hitler Youth lined along the road, keeping the people behind. Now, my father only came home for weekends, and I knew he was coming home this particular weekend. So when I finished the piano lesson, I saw a lady there with some flowers, and I thought, oh, I'll buy some flowers for my father. Then I intended to cross the road, which was impossible because the people just wouldn't let me through. But I was determined because there were no trams going and I had to cross the road in order to get into a side street to get home. Eventually, pushing through the people, I jumped into the road, and I'm afraid at that particular moment, Hitler came around the corner in a car. He stood there and all the people were shouting and screaming. And one of the SS men jumped off and came over to me because he could see I had some flowers. And he took my hand and he said, come on then, you can give these flowers to the Führer. So I looked at him and I said, well, they're really for my father. But he didn't reply. He just sort of pulled me along. And Hitler bent down and looked at me. And I thought, oh, he's got cold blue eyes. You know, he wasn't, there was no warmth in these eyes. And my arm just came up and he took the flowers and then he said, but you're not in uniform. You should be in uniform. So I said, well, I'm not German, I'm Swiss. And that's the reason why I haven't got a uniform on. I haven't joined the Hitler Youth. But I don't think he heard it because people really shouting. And then the SS man said, well, you can go now, you know, and he sort of pushed me off and I ran to the other side of the road and got home. And when I told my parents about it, they were very worried because they were afraid it might come into the paper. And my father, being Swiss, didn't like that. When I got to school the next day, everybody was very jealous because they felt I, who hadn't even joined the Hitler Youth, was able to give the Hitler some flowers and they would have liked to do something like that, but they hadn't had the opportunity.
It was strange, that sort of accident at the early part of the war, but later on you became a medical student and you were looking after an awful lot of wounded soldiers coming back from the Russian battlefields. What was that like?
Well, I was only 19 years old and I think it was, I will never forget it because in Russia at that time of the year, which was the end of 1944, it was so terribly cold. We had, in Russia actually they had 20 and 25 below zero. We in Königsberg had 10 and 15 below zero. It was freezing. And there were so many wounded that they didn't have enough space to have proper carriages prepared for them. So they just put them into cattle trucks. And these soldiers arrived just laying on straw. And one of the most terrible jobs for me was to be on what they called on station duty. Because I was a medical student, we were chosen to be on station duty. That meant we had to, when the wounded arrived, we had to sort the dead from the ones that were alive. That was the first thing. And many didn't die of their wounds, but from the cold, because the cattle tracks were absolutely freezing cold. I was very young. I think I will never forget that experience, to try and get even some of their shoes off. You had to cut them because their feet were so swollen. But we did try to help them, but you had to be hard. You could not have too much sympathy because there were too many. You just had to try and get through the hundreds and hundreds of wounded in order to sort them out.
And then in 1944, when the Russians break through the German front on the Eastern German front, what happened to you then?
Well, once they came near to Königsberg, the wounded soldiers kept on telling us, particularly the young nurses, we ought to try and get out because they had experienced what the Russians were like, because some of the parts which the Russians had already occupied, they reconquered, and they could see what cruelties they had inflicted on the civilian population. And they warned us and said we ought to try and get out. But there was no proper evacuation procedure at all, because the news we heard on the wireless all the time was that the German army are holding the Russians back. But we did, when we started to inquire from the wounded soldiers, know that this wasn't the truth. So I'm afraid I just had to leave too. And at that particular moment, my whole family was scattered. My mother was evacuated, and so was my brother with his school. And my father didn't have his business in Königsberg. And my other two sisters were also somewhere else. So I decided to start off on my own and just joined one of the refugee tracks to try and get out. I just packed up and got as many warm clothes on as I possibly could, and I had a satchel over my shoulder with some money, and I took a sleigh where I put a suitcase on and had a rucksack, and I just started to walk.
Did you fear for your life?
I did not fear for my life. I think I was more afraid from the Russians. I had heard too many stories, and I was fortunate, or maybe you can call it unfortunate. My mother had given me a small phial with cyanide, which I carried around my neck, and it became a kind of talisman. And whenever the Russians, whilst I was a refugee, whenever they came too near, I used to touch it, and I used to think, what if they really turn up suddenly? That's what I can do. I can just take the poison.
Can you look back on that time now, Helga, or has it taken a long time for you to come to terms with what happened to you? And, I mean, you were extremely young, only 19 or 20.
I couldn't talk about it for years, and even my children, when they asked me about it, I never would mention anything about the time when I was a refugee. I would tell them about what Hitler was like and how I met him and what it was like to be at school. But this part I never touched. And it was actually my eldest son, Victor, who said to me one day, if you could write it, then you will find you are able to talk about it, and we would like to know, even if you don't talk about it. And that made me decide to start, and I started to write. But when I came to the, so I decided I might as well start right from the beginning, you know, what it was like to go to school under Hitler and so on. But then when I came to the part where I was a refugee, I had all sorts of excuses why I couldn't carry on with writing. I even did a bit of housework and sort of said, no, I haven't got the time for it. But eventually I did, and I'm afraid I sort of went through it all again. I was cold again, and I was hungry again. But I did put a lot of it down into the book. Not all of it, because some of it was too horrible to even write about it. And when it was finished, this is what the family felt. They felt it was a story which should be told, because the what happened to the civilian population in the East was bad, and a lot of people in England don't really know what happened. You see, the when the Americans and the English entered Germany from the West, I mean from France, no German left. They all stayed where they were, and a lot of them were glad the war was finished. But in the East, everybody that could only walk or move left, because we all knew what would happen. And even today, if you look at Königsberg, it's still Russian, and no Germans are living there. The Russians, well, they got rid of them all. Either they took them to Siberia, or they just told them to go.
That is super, Helga. That was exactly what I wanted. Thank you very much indeed. I'm very grateful. Just stop your...